So regarding the crisis in Ukraine, how much does the government need to do for refugees?
It is absolutely clear that there is a devastating humanitarian crisis. And frankly, the UK needs to be as generous as it can and to be as unbureaucratic as we can. I think the support of the British people for Ukraine has been very clear and very steadfast. And up and down the country, people are wanting to donate and give what they can. Until now, I think what has been absolutely staggering has been the lack of preparedness that we've had for this situation. Just in Parliament this week, MPs have been raising the fact that it was known back in October that there could be an invasion by Russia of Ukraine, and that for 2 months we've been behind the curve. It is as if it's Afghanistan revisited. And for constituents now contacting me with stories of their families who have been driving to the border, trying to then getting to Calais, told to return to Paris after passports rejected, ways in which the bureaucracy has just been utterly unacceptable, and the confusion over the UK's policy. So I think it's very welcome now that there is some step forward. The government's announced that there will be a programme from Tuesday the 15th, where family members on a family reunion route can apply using their passports or ID cards online and have an email that can be used to help give access to the UK, where they'll get the appropriate stamps when they get here. But there's still no update on the community sponsorship scheme. This is what other countries have started to do well, where if you don't have family, but you've got a family that's prepared to sponsor you, that should have been announced well before now, and we're still waiting for details. And people are fleeing the humanitarian crisis that is unfolding day by day. So the UK has to do more. We have to play our part. It may be until it's safe for people to go back to Ukraine. We just don't know. But where there is such such welcoming kind of spirit and such concern, why the government is behind the curve is beyond me. It's utterly unacceptable. We need to step forward, be as generous as we can, and be as unbureaucratic as we can.
Can you tell us a bit about the response in your area to this crisis, considering that Hounslow has the third biggest amount of Ukrainians in the country?
Well, certainly the response has been really incredible. It's been just a very heartfelt response to what people are seeing on the TV, but also through the stories of their friends and neighbours. We know that we've got restaurants that are accepting goods that are then going to Ukraine. And I'm also working very closely with the All Saints Church in Hanworth, Reverend Sergei Dijuk as well there. They're also working with the Prosperity restaurant, a Ukrainian restaurant in Twickenham. And we've got a team of volunteers that have been collecting things like power banks for charging phones, other accessories, backpacks, insulated flasks, warm blankets, clothing, medical supplies, items for babies, you know, those things that have been requested. And what they are doing is they are pre-sorting, packing and sending these items in a coordinated way over to the border. The other thing that has been incredible is talking to those who are here from neighbouring countries like Poland on the work that their families are doing, their communities are doing, and how they are talking about how families and friends are opening up their homes to women and children that have fled. And we think about this during International Women's Month. It's International Women's Day just gone on the March the 8th. When we think that these women and children are leaving behind their brothers, their fathers, their husbands, their sons to fight for democracy and defend their country. These are the very serious matters. And so how the community is coming together with diaspora communities from even the neighboring states, how they are doing their own kind of spreading of the word and seeking people to send donations where it's possible through organized route, but otherwise to make those financial donations, which is the most important way in which what's needed can be bought in bulk for medical supplies and humanitarian supplies, so that people can be helped at the border in the very, very cold weather that they're all experiencing as well.
Could you tell us a bit about the atmosphere at All Saints in Hanworth?
Certainly the atmosphere has been one of kind of a deep sense of giving and responsibility, just a very subdued atmosphere about how this has happened and happened so quickly, and just an urgency about trying to do what any of us can to help, whether that's through the targeted donations of items, which are all labelled so that they can be less of a problem at the border and coordinated, but also the financial donations and the information that they are also getting on the ground. Because this is where, you know, people here and the support that is really being given and the encouragement to those still in Ukraine, you know, this is what I hear meaning so much to those in Ukraine who are maybe stuck there, and they'll be elderly relatives of people here. These are some of the conversations that I've been having, and the way in which they have felt supported by what's happening in the West and across the world, in fact. So those stories of people being stuck, the heartbreaking stories when people are talking to their relatives in Russia who don't believe what's happening because they believe the false news being given them to them by the Russian media. This is heartbreaking for families where they don't always feel that they're believed in by their own relatives in Russia. And this is where I think, you know, making sure that news is able to be told, journalists are able to report freely, is very important for there to be truth about what's going on as well. But let me finally just make this point. This week was very powerful in Parliament, in the chamber, when we heard from President Zelensky with the urgent request to Britain and to other countries to do more. It was on the same day that I also was part of a meeting hearing from Ukrainian women MPs. And it was very, very moving and emotional for us to be able to at least tell them, you know, those who are living in fear, in hiding, but staying to help where they can and keep their government going. It was important to be able to tell them that we, on this International Women's Day and International Women's Week, that we stood with all the women and indeed all the men in Ukraine. And I think that message of solidarity is also a huge support and one that we must keep going.
A few months on from the Taliban's takeover of Afghanistan, could you tell us a bit about the effects of that, especially how it's affected your area?
The situation in Afghanistan is still very devastating. It may be less in our news day to day, but we are still dealing with many, many cases of families with relatives, some who have been able to flee and get to a third country, or at least one of the family being able to do that. Others that have not been able to, who are still in hiding, who are still being hunted for by the Taliban now. This is particularly men who may have been in the defense forces or the police, or it may be women that have been working in teaching or journalism. And what is very worrying is that the international community, now dealing with the issues of Ukraine as well, that it's felt very worrying that some of that is either slowing down or not getting the attention that it needs. We are still working case by case, raising those cases with the Foreign Office where appropriate, with the Ministry of Defence where appropriate, and with the Home Office where appropriate. This is important because we need to keep the pressure on to make sure that those routes are open and available to those family members that should be able to come and join those loved ones here. This is absolutely critical. It's a responsibility of our government too, because we still have British nationals who are stuck. And they are stuck partly because of the complexity of their situation and being at risk, but also because they are afraid of leaving their loved ones behind, who can then become targets and more vulnerable without them. So these are all areas we have to work on alongside really pushing, and we continue to push every day for what, how much is actually being given by the British government for humanitarian support in Afghanistan, so that people are getting food to eat and getting the support they need in a very, very difficult and fragile time. Not nearly enough is being done. It's a cold winter and people are still suffering and hungry, and with fear for their lives. So this has not gone away, not for us, not for the Afghan people, not for relatives of the Afghan people, not for the surrounding countries, and not for the world. And we cannot forget the situation in Afghanistan and the need that there still is for the international community and the British government to be playing its part.
We're going to see a massive rise in the cost of living come April. I was wondering if you could tell us a bit about the effects of that on small businesses.
I am seeing an enormous effect of the cost of living crisis. It's a cost of living crisis for families. It's a cost of living crisis for businesses as well. They are seeing their raw materials and prices therefore going up. Raw materials, I've talked to some businesses who've said to me that what may have cost them £1 in terms of parts for some of their light manufacturing has gone up to £42 because of either where it's coming from or the difficulties of the supply chain crisis and getting it over to Britain. At the same time, we're seeing so many small traders that we have in our community seeing their petrol and diesel prices rocket. We're seeing inflation running rampant, likely to be around 7% in April. Energy prices pushing firms to the edge, and we're also seeing families struggling to make ends meet. That's impacting their ability to buy goods in shops. And the other area that has become such a crisis now because of a real lack of forward planning by the government has been the skilled labour that's needed in some of our jobs. And with Heathrow now wanting to recruit as well many thousands of people as the airport starts to open up. But what we're also finding is that people have stepped away from the labour market. They may have taken redundancy, they may have taken earlier retirement. And the worry about them not coming back or feeling able to get back into work, as sometimes people reduce confidence as well when they're out of work for some time, is that it's going to put extra pressure on companies. And also it means that they are having to sometimes turn down contracts for work because they're unable to afford to take others on. It's the reason why as well, just this week again, we've had a debate in Parliament. I think all parties across the House and with the exception of the Conservatives, but including some Conservative backbenchers, are calling on the government to not increase the national insurance tax rise in April, because that is the wrong tax at the wrong time. It is going to penalise businesses just as they're trying to make ends meet and having to also pay back loans from the government. But it is also going to make it more expensive for their goods and services and make it much harder for families that are really facing a very difficult time with their own energy bills, food price rises and other costs to be able to do that shopping that's going to keep our businesses going. We are calling on the government to act more in the budget statement that's going to be on the 23rd of March. It's going to be an absolutely critical time to get the right decisions to support the economy and businesses in the period ahead.
So what do you want to, is there anything specific that you are calling for in that budget?
We're specifically calling for the national insurance rise to be put on hold. But we have also called on the government to freeze business rates until the next revaluation and do more to reform business rates and business costs as well.
Excellent. So Hounslow's Promise Connected Futures Programme and the Youth Leadership Programme, Could you tell us a little about how that program's going?
We're really pleased with the response that we've had, and really the young people now coming forward to be on the program. We're really pleased as well that we've got more businesses signing up that want to be able to do masterclasses and to be able to tell young people, and this is targeted at aged 18 to 24, explain more about the sectors that they are leaders in, explain what the jobs are, have them meet and be familiar with what roles might look like. But the one thing that we are really keen to just spread the word on, as just in the final days of recruitment at the moment, is that we are very keen to hear from more people who want to be community mentors. This could be anybody aged 25 and above, any profession that you may be working in, because what we want is a diverse range of mentor voices. We've had a very good response already, so we're just looking for another, maybe another 20 or so, that can help with being from different backgrounds, different jobs, and to be able to be great guides and supports to those young people as they go through the programme. So we're really pleased as well that the Department for Work and Pensions has now also come behind the programme and is providing some grant funding to support that. And so really, really keen. If anybody's interested, please visit the Hounslow Promise website. It's a very short form to be able to fill out if you want to be a community mentor. And really excited to be able to meet everyone as the programme is going forward.